Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It's great to be with you today. I'm Steve Kramer, and I'm joined today in our Spirit Fire studio at Spirit Fire Retreat Center with Donna Mitchell-Moniak. She's the founder of Spirit Fire, so it's a delight to be at Spirit Fire with Donna, the vision of Spirit Fire.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure to be here.
So we are today going to talk a bit about the practice of living awareness, and lovely once again to be sitting across from the woman who taught me personally to meditate through the practice of living awareness, which is just an incredible meditation practice. And it's comprised of 14 steps, 14 tools. And the goal of this radio show is really to show the many ways that these tools are used in our day to day, in a sense, how we take the meditation practice off of the cushion and apply it to our lives in every single regard. So every week here at Spirit Fire, Donna leads us through a different step of the practice online, live, and that's something we're always talking about, our free meditation program. And each week we bring a guest on the show who talks about the particular step of the practice and the tool involved in that step to the show. And we talk to them about their lives, about their work, about what it is that they do. And we learn so much about that tool and the way it's applied simply by talking to somebody who sort of embodies the essence of that tool. Well, this week is toroidal flow. And that step talks quite a bit about the torus, which is an energetic mechanism that actually sends energy out into a system, collects information and brings it back into the system to be processed. And then that in turn changes the energy and puts it back out. So in a sense, it's that you reflect the world around you and your influence upon the world reflects back to you. It's a reporting mechanism and it's actually a flow that generates energy. So it's self-contained. And actually toruses are all around us. Our heart is literally a torus. It's what keeps us going. The earth is a torus. Solar systems are torus. Anything that really is constantly expanding, moving, and creating is a torus. So Donna, anything you want, here you are sitting across from me who knows quite a bit about Tauruses. Anything you want to add to that, the Taurus?
That was so well said. The off-the-cushion component, I think, is that to see that reflection of the flow of energy that each of us creates. The last two meditations that I've done in this, Monday and Wednesday today, focused upon that we replicate the Earth's magnetic field, and that just as the way that an electrical current is created through the middle channel of the Earth, similarly so, we have this middle channel along which our chakras are aligned, and our bodies, our mind, our emotional body, our energy and bioenergy field are aligned. And as that energy current of the world, of information, of the love that we receive, the love that we give, pours through that channel, then we create our fields of existence. And as you say, they interact with all of the fields of other people, they interact with the world, and there you go. We are constantly creating and being created, as you said.
Beautifully said, and I've got goosebumps already. I literally have goosebumps because Donna and I just participated in a wonderful conference in Phoenix, Arizona, which was actually wonderful to be in some dry desert heat. It was great. It was called the University of the Seven Rays and Seven Ray Institute. Every year, this organization puts on an international conference and invites people who generally are quite tuned in to that very fact that we create the world around us, and we are absolutely interconnected. And that which we put out affects everything around us, which in turn affects ourselves. And so it couldn't be more perfect than time to talk about this conference and its effect, the ways in which we are actually toroidal flow. There was a theme to this conference, which was initiation, and that's quite an esoteric concept, but essentially it has to do with various levels of vibration that we reach and creates an unfoldment of sorts that allows us sort of a new range of experience so that we can once again grow, that we can evolve and reach a new plateau. Our system then sort of recalibrates and allows us to create and interact with the world around us in a new, more rather lighted way. So essentially, we all have to see ourselves as part of the human kingdom. This seemed to be a theme that was throughout the conference, that until we understand that, yes, we're in it together. We're in it as a family. We've got friends. We've even got a community, a nation. But really, the focus we need to pay attention to is that of humanity. And until we can see ourselves as the human kingdom, and understand that the earth is a being itself, and that we are a very important aspect of the earth as a unit of consciousness, and that our actions directly affect this being that we call earth. And those beings go out exponentially, just like we've got to eat the right foods to sort of protect and nurture our stomach. And if we don't, our stomach's going to go a little awry. Well, you know, we are part of the stomach as part of a system that creates us. We are part of a system, and we certainly have direct effect on the planet Earth, which is part of a solar system and a greater system and a greater system. We won't go too far into that, but there was so much speak about humanity. And really the point of this conference was to, I would say, create awareness, to share inspiration with others who consider themselves teachers, receivers, students, activists, and people who really would like to spread the word and help wake up their fellow man to the fact that we're at a time where we've got to get it together, and we've really got to work in cooperation with each other. So again, there's the Taurus. Anything, Donna, you'd like to add about the conference?
Well, the conference, I think, you know, you highlighted many things. One of the factors is the receptivity as you were saying, as each of us recognizes our role as receptive beings within the totality of the beingness of the earth, then we, of course, can receive through this toroidal flow of energies that's ceaseless and constant, that we are being moved by and attracted by and receiving all the time, that then we will put out proper beneficent and creative energies back into the world. And the conference highlighted several ways by which people are doing that, organizations are doing that, and I'm sure that we'll highlight a few of those in a few minutes. The other thing that I think that the conference provided was the international flavor of the conference itself and the people, the collaboration that was going on an international scale. It is just one conference of several all around the world where people are looking at consciousness, looking at science, looking at the interdependence of the world, and how your and my actions, thoughts, words, our considerations, our appreciations, the value that we give to any given thing, any given moment, that they really are effective in the world for benefit or, unfortunately, for detriment.
Indeed. And that we have to take action, too. As much as there was a theme of receptivity, it actually was quite the perfect toroidal flow, because as we receive, we then have the information, and we have received information that then triggers us, if we have some modicum of sort of consciousness or right thinking within our being, to say, wow, I really need to take action. And in what ways can and do I take action? I would love to talk about the United Nations. There were several individuals present who gave wonderful presentations on the UN. In fact, there was one each day of the conference, which just goes to show you that goodwill, education, right response to situations that are so easy to ignore, so easy to turn the blind eye and sort of think, well, you know, I know about these problems and that's enough. You know, really there are ways that we can take direct action, and certainly through meditation. I will bring it back every time to meditation, because one thing these people have in common, every single person there had in common, was the importance of meditation, the importance of service, and the importance of study. So education, so many writers, so many teachers, and so many students, the endless, you know, the student, the ever student was right, present, right. Which engages creative thought, which engages the higher mind, which engages intuition and creativity. And that is really such a, it's an important aspect of meditation. When we're meditating, we're actually allowing ourselves to be in a point of alignment where we can actually create through our inspiration, through, you know, when we're in a place of altitude, we're in the realm of insight and of abstract thinking. And that's what produces change. That's what produces evolution. So meditation, study, and service, world service. In the end, that is was another constant theme. As soon as I say one, I think that the other one was a more sort of present theme. And actually, they were also present. So I know we're going to go to a break soon. And when we come back, I would really, really love to talk about the United Nations. I learned so much. I thought I knew about the UN. And in the end, there is so much that we can be reminded that this organization does on a daily, yearly basis that will just move you. And I certainly was moved many times to tears by the just selfless work of so many individuals. So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back to talk more with Donna Mitchell-Moniak and about toroidal flow.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Discover the 8 things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrants, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm joined today on site with Donna Mitchell-Moniak. She's the founder of Spirit Fire and the creator of the Practice of Living Awareness. We just got back from a wonderful conference really on global health would be a very simple way to talk about it from Phoenix, Arizona. And this week on the Practice of Living Awareness, we are covering the step called toroidal flow, which basically says what you put out is what you get back. It is a fundamental principle that if we learn to live by, it's going to be a lot easier for us all. Although, you know, certainly what we get back, what we put out, it's also a learning process. It's
always.
We learn that way. So sometimes it's not so pretty, but in the end, it helps us. It's quite effective in helping us evolve, huh?
Absolutely. The toroidal flow is, of course, what everything is. I mean, as spring is springing here in New England, you see the trees flowing. And as they flow, they actually, if you watch the tops of them, they create this vortex at the top. It's because they're trying to draw up the sap, up the fullness of the trunk to then let it out to branches. And then the branches will cause the leaves. And so the whole thing is creating the manifestation of toroidal flow. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And that's such a beautiful way to put it, because there was quite a bit of talk about movement and motion at this conference, that it's fundamental. And I know myself as an esoteric healer, in teaching esoteric healing, we often will teach students these triangles and points of energy, and they'll just want to hold that point of energy. And we forget that everything is moving. Everything is actually, it creates a vibration. It creates a resonance and resonant fields. And you're actually working and creating a resonant field, which involves movement. And so that word came up so much about flow and movement, and we really can't stay static. We've really got to keep growing, and that is really a dynamic of evolution that we can't forget that we've got to be in a flow, toroidal flow. We teach that so much in the practice. I don't know how many steps. I would probably say almost every single one involves to some level being aware of the way that something is coming in, the effect it's having on you, and what you are putting out. So that said,
I think that leads to the UN in the respect of the world wars and what was going into humanity was such violence and horror and terror that humanity itself, at least the leaders of humanity, decided, no, we have to put something else out of ourselves, and that is goodness, kindness, and the well-being of the whole world. And by putting out that intention, then the UN was created, of course, and which we're going to speak a bit about. And those goals of always having at forefront the well-being of the totality of humanity globally, then the UN continues to meet those goals, and I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah, impeccably said. And I love that if we're all, the listeners are trying to understand a vortex and a toroidal flow with these meeting points. You know, the UN is an actual structure. If you look at that structure, it's quite modern. There's quite a bit of it's always been one of my favorite buildings my whole life. In fact, I lived in New York City and specifically moved across to the East River. So in just a little bike ride away, I could sit across the East River and look at this just gorgeous the UN itself looks, you know, most of the buildings are going in one direction, and the UN sits just at the edge on the East River, perpendicular to the flow of most buildings. And it serves almost like a satellite. It looks like a big grid, and you can just sense that it's pointing east. It's pointing to all of Europe. And you can imagine that the architect had in mind that here we sit and we receive the impulses of creating a new humanity, a humanity that just won't stand for the atrocities of war, at least will do its best to try to vision and create a world where well-being is
and one of the things you just said is actually key, that it faces east. East is where the sun rises. And so it is said all down the ages that the teachings come from the east. Well, the teachings simply represent light. So to have every day the light of the sun coming into those glass windows and into all those offices and into all those meetings, that's the purpose of that. And it was just so well thought through, meditatively so, undoubtedly.
Yes. And when you look at the General Assembly, there's this beautiful structure that actually looks like a torus. I mean, it is literally shaped like a torus. I think that there's quite a bit of symbology. And those of you who might know a thing or two about the Constitution of Man, which is a sort of this map. It's sort of a map of consciousness, really. I have a feeling, Donna, you'll laugh at this, that if you look at the actual window structure, that there are seven rows of windows and then a break and then seven rows. You know, we've got seven chakras, and there's a lot of systems of seven that happen architecturally within our energetic. And I think they actually put that into the building. Not much went, you know, they didn't miss much in creating the UN, but I would love to get to the UN. Now, those of you listening, this is an amazing organization. I mean, I'll just give you a few facts. They provide 90 million people in 73 countries provide food. They vaccinate 58% of the world's children, saving 2.5 million lives a year. 58% of the world's children are vaccinated. I would imagine mostly malaria, saving endless lives. There's one promoting maternal health. The UN saves the lives of 30 million women a year by promoting maternal health and education. The list just goes on. The UN had an initiative that they set in place in the year 2000 that was going to create a program to create social change, international global social change, over not just social, economic change, looking out for humanity's well-being on the planet Earth, initiatives that were to last until 2015. And there were markers set up to sort of take a look at that progress. They met every marker, which is amazing. It was a huge success. And as a result, they have created what is called Sustainable Development Goals, SDG, Sustainable Development Goals. And the organization has a website called globalgoals.org. And this is a new initiative that is going to track these Sustainable Development Goals, otherwise known as SDGs, until the year 2030. I'm going to read these to you because they are just so beautifully thought out. And a number of the people that were at this conference were involved in creating these initiatives. Here are the goals. I mean, listen to these goals. By 2030, no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality. I'm only on five, and that sounds like a pretty good world. And you realize, I mean, the questions asked are why not? How can we work together, that we absolutely can work together to create these as a sustainable world, as a world that is what?
Is redeemed.
Beautiful, yeah.
Uplifted, you know. I mean, redeemed is not a religious word. Redeemed is to actually transform the very constitution of our thoughts, of our actions, of the ways that we look at creativity, and to bring forward the genius of the heart, the genius of humanity. And this is what we're talking about. Now, these goals, which, as Steve said, he stopped at five, and there's several more. But these goals are possible even in the intuition and the imagination of the UN and its leaders, because the very goals set in 2000 were met in 15 years. Poverty was reduced overall in the world. infant death rate, mortality, was reduced significantly in the world. More women leaders were elected in the world. So there's these various goals that were themselves necessary as sustainable foundational goals to be met so that these wider, even more ambitious and more, if you will, illumined, enlightened world goals are at least set before humanity.
And peacekeeping, I mean, we can't, until we understand peace, the importance of a peaceful world. I mean, when they read the basic rights, the Charter for Human Rights, that was the first thing that the UN established after the two world wars. And basically, number one was that it is a human right to live peacefully, to live without fear. And so many of us take that for granted who do not live in a war-torn nation. And all that trickles down, all of the hardship that trickles down, and that's just most of that is physical hardship. My goodness, you know, add to that the emotional hardship, mental hardship, the spiritual hardship that goes along with that. And we have much here. Certainly, at least in the United States, which means we have much to act with. And so I would just love to read a few more of these. And these are goals. These are goals for the planet, for all of humanity that the UN and these amazing thinkers and actors and creators are putting in place. Clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work and economic growth. Industry, innovation, and infrastructure. That was one of the goals that they met, was getting computers, just getting people hooked in. And you can see that we are becoming a global consciousness, and that sort of communication really helps. Reduced inequalities, sustainable cities. I mean, climate action, life below water, life above land, peace, justice, and strong institutions. The list just goes on. So these presentations were just amazing and just made me really once again understand why I've personally always loved the vibration of that building. The work that is done there is so wonderful. So there's a website called 1for7billion.org. And as Donna was saying, women, there was quite a bit about the divine feminine, about Earth as a receptive energy. So we're going to go to a break. And when we get back, I'd love to talk a bit with Donna about that, the divine feminine, about receptivity in the toroidal flow. So more on that with Donna Mitchell-Maniak when we get back.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm joined today here at the Retreat Center in our Retreat Center studio with Donna Mitchell-Moniak. And we've been talking about the UN. Just before break, we were talking about the United Nations and all of the incredible work that they do and the many ways that both she and I were quite inspired at the University of Seven Rays International Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. So we're talking about toroidal flow. And, you know, in order for flow to take place, one's got to be receptive. And the divine feminine is receptivity. I mean, that is really, I would say, the signature of the divine feminine. And interestingly enough, just to sort of wrap up our talk about the UN, because there's so much I'd love to talk about, is, you know, the UN is electing a new, of course, my brain's going, actually, there's a couple things I'd like to still say. The UN is electing a new secretary general this year. This year is the election process year, and it will be for 2017 will be the new UN secretary general. They basically lead the world peacekeepers of the world, a United Nations international organization that they represent all of us. And there is a website that is tracking and informing the world about this decision, and it's called 1for7billion.org. And those are the number 1for7billion, number 7.org. And it's so interesting. This year is very transparent. They are allowing people, anybody worldwide through the internet, to talk about what you'd like to see in a UN Secretary General. What are the issues that that are affecting your life? What do you have to say about the quality or the who would you like to represent you as humanity? And I just think that's so wowing. You know, it's not just who do I want to represent my town, my country. This is who I want to represent me as a human being on planet Earth. That floats my boat. I'd love to say that of the majority of the nominees are women this year, and they are almost certain that there's going to be a woman from there as the list of countries: Bulgaria, New Zealand, Moldova, Croatia, all really strong contenders for the Secretary General this year. So it's an interesting website anyway, 1for7billion.org. They're doing amazing stuff worldwide. And during the break, Donna and I were just saying, you hear these sustainable development goals and you think peace, justice, strong institutions, these are all big, you know, gender equality. You think, well, what part could I play in that? And quite literally, you know, our actions daily, we have every opportunity to create peace, in our household, to create peace with ourselves, justice. You know, there's not a day that goes by that there is not an opportunity for you to act from the heart, with conscience, with kindness. That is justice. So that's the practice of living awareness, is really teaching people these tools on the cushion, but certainly they can be applied to everyday life and ways that are the most simple action in a day. You know, when does somebody need a smile, and how simple that is really creates a peaceable kingdom and a peaceable planet for us to live on and for us to grow as humanity.
You know, along that line, one of the presentations that was at the conference that is totally in line with what we're talking about was Heidi Robbins, who always presents something called Hello Love. And that came from her 3-year-old daughter, who now is in her teens. And this young child went up to her mom one day and just said, "Hello Love." And Heidi went out and was so struck by that that she went out and decided to make t-shirts, and then went out and did, you know how there's these kind of demonstrations where you go out and you hold a sign, free hugs, that kind of thing. Well, she did that with these t-shirts and wanted to just say to everybody, "Hello, love, hello, love." And she found that she was efforting so much to try to bring love forward from other people that, of course, she fried herself out, and she laughed about it. So the efforting that all of us can do to help the UN and humanity overall with these absolutely sustainable development goals is not through efforting. It is, as you say, in any given moment, that is the moment for patience. That is the moment for ingenuity. That is the moment for being present in the moment. And that is not only going to address the moment, the person, the traffic jam, the whatever it is that we've got going on, but it also will energetically, through toroidal flow and the shared telepathic fields of humanity, it will affect human consciousness overall. Every person who is patient undoes impatience in the world. Every person who just simply looks at a situation with wisdom brings wisdom into the world and addresses anger and violence and bigotry.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And it's not to say that direct action and effort, you know, certainly isn't necessary. But that it's important to be aware, to know when that effort is, like in Heidi's case, she sort of had to laugh because they realized that they were all just wiped out. And she thought, well, what good am I doing sort of the well-being of all beings by me being frizzled and fried with this whole sort of a campaign? And she realized that within that sort of struggle, she realized that there were simple ways to be love and sort of to hold that energy of hello love, which was for her just being present as hello, I am love.
Right.
And it fed her, and through awareness she was able to sort of really find an effective way to spread the word and say hello to people with love. One interesting thing is we're holding this pamphlet, and one thing I've noticed on the UN website is they've come up with these beautiful symbols, just these gorgeous universal symbols. And once again, we're reminded that we are finding ways, human beings are ingeniously finding ways to communicate and be one. It's not that any of this is really complicated, and to really look at these symbols and know that any human being on the planet can look at these symbols and understand exactly what it means is just, again, another statement of human ingenuity and creativity in action. And you know, for those of you out there that are meditators or wanting to learn to meditate, and, you know, these are the insights, this simplicity and this sort of aha, those aha moments are, you know, they're the keynote to meditation. That is really the, at the end of the day, that is human evolution.
Yes, absolutely.
Are these moments of aha that really come when you are aligned and really tapping into your innate, true, lighted purpose. So I would just love to tell you in a moment, one of the presentations that really stood out in my mind, Heidi's, of course, was just joyful. I mean, I was giddy, laughing out loud, just giddy in my seat. There was another woman named Sandra DeCastro Buffington, and she is a storyteller for social change. And you think she works for a creative think tank. You think, what is a creative think tank? What does that mean, storytelling for social change on a grand level? This woman was brilliant. She runs a think tank that is surrounded by the community. hearing what does the community need in any given community, what are your concerns, what are your needs? And then she links up writers, Hollywood, who were the storytellers in our world. And she spoke about storytelling, that we learn from each other by passing down our life story, by observing. This is all meditation speak. The observer is the meditator. And, you know, before we had computers and the internet and texting and Twitter, you know, these stories were told, you know, they were passed down from generation to generation.
And acted out in by troubadours and still on stages. And
yeah.
So as you say, she works with people in Hollywood and Bollywood and in the various movie-making capitals. I think there were five of them around the world.
Yeah, and television, indeed. Yeah. Television. Right. So what she does is she gets communities, needs, activists, and then the people who are the experts in the field. So she gets all this information and they come up with storylines and they insert them into network television series, into movies. And so that they are sort of almost behind the scenes talking about stories that will portray social justice, that will portray the vision of world health, nonviolence, consciousness. And they're always socially provocative storylines. Just for an instance, she was saying that they did a show on, I believe it was CSI, and they inserted a storyline about an organ donor. They've got this drama, and within that story as a sub-storyline is somebody needing an organ. And as one of the main characters of the show died off, they gave their organ and they created this whole storyline about it. They said that after that show, within that week, that they figured out through these statistics that 9% of the viewership had signed up to be an organ donor. 9% of what, a 4 million person viewership, that's a lot of organs. That is huge social change. And this woman is just doing amazing work. And so these were presentations one after the other of people that were finding ways. You know, she's a negotiator. She's a bridge. She creates bridges. And she has found a way to bring all of these various groups together and create social change through storytelling. And just so inspiring and really quite nice. So the divine feminine, that's what we were going to talk about. And that's a lot of females. I just found the female energy to be so amazing there. I know a colleague of mine, we were talking about the deathing process. We were at a table at lunch and a woman leaned over and said, how often do you hear two men talking about death and dying so gently and with so much compassion? And I thought, well, that's sweet of you, but all right, you know, if we're going to really talk about it in terms of the sexes, I thought, well, all right, there really was a wonderful feminine principle.
But I think, too, there is that we are in the new millennium, and the millennium begins with the number two, and that automatically is a feminine energetic as opposed to the number one.
Ah, indeed.
So right there, you have the sustainable goals, and even the goals that were from 2000 to 2015 for the UN, they are drawing upon the unanimity, that's again feminine, you know, the empathy, the empathic relationship that we all have together. So it's only possible by all of humanity bringing forward its feminine energy, which then of course brings forward in a more full way the strength of the divine masculine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Masculinity is not just, you know, violence or individuality or independence. The strength of the divine masculine is that which protects, is that which nurtures, is that which provides. Mm. So that's what these sustainable goals are based upon, is actually a divine feminine energy that brings forward the divine masculine just as well.
Yeah, balance. You know, so much
completely
about balance. And there you go. Toroidal flow is balance.
Yeah.
But in that we're talking about the divine feminine, I'd love to talk about the full moon, you know, on a bit as we are getting into the show. We have a very important week. This is a full moon week. And I'd love, Donna, for you just to tell the listeners a bit about the full moon meditations. And this is, there are three high moons. I'm going to let Donna talk to you about them quickly. And we are at the second of the three high moons. So they are called in many circles. Certainly it's a global initiative. So many people meditating during the full moons. And I would say this week, this full moon, we'll see meditators all over the world meditating on this full moon. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The three high moons are basically the first three signs of the zodiac. So we are in the second sign of the zodiac. And it, like I was just saying about the divine feminine, it being the second sign, it has to do with relationship, ultimately. And with this moon, we are looking at the relationship of the highest echelons of human beingness, of meditative states of reality, being in relation to everyday livingness here on Earth that all of us live. Ultimately, this relationship is simply to bring forward light, love, and creative manifestation. So it fits right into everything that we've been talking about.
And so the Wesak full moon is on?
It is on, it actually the exact time of the full moon is in the middle of the night on Friday evening in Eastern time. Spirit Fire, of course, will be leading its online meditation on Friday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But certainly, as Steve was just saying, there are meditations all over the world in person and online, because this is, again, this is considered a very significant time to meditate, to contemplate, and to align with others.
And so let's talk about the Buddha a bit. I mean,
sure.
Wesak is the celebration of the Buddha. It is the celebration of his birth, of his awakening, and
his death.
And his death.
Yeah, it is said in legend that all three transpired under the full moon of Taurus. And so this celebration uses that idea that the Buddha is the pinnacle point or an example of, because of course we have the Christ and we have Lao Tzu and we have many other great saints and sages through the world. So this is an example of the pinnacle point of what anyone can accomplish when they actually sit down, get centered, meditate, and get clear. And what happened for him was, of course, enlightenment. And that is the pinnacle for any human being. We're all capable of that. And then we're all capable of living from that enlightened consciousness and bringing that forward into the world. So this festival called Wesak is a celebration of not only the Buddha nature, if you will, inherent with all beings, within all beings, but also the Christ nature. They are not two different things. One could consider that one is the wisdom side of enlightened activity and being, and the Christ being the compassion side, or compassion energy of enlightened presence and being. And these two, it is said that they coordinate, they align, and then send forward that to the dual energy of enlightened and of wisdom and compassion fully into humanity. And then we receive it and we can live it.
And am I correct in saying that that is sort of, in a sense, transmitted on the third full moon? And that would be the third full moon of Gemini.
That's right. The way I like to guide that meditation, the Gemini meditation, is that we become the winds of change. Mm-hmm. Humanity, and having received this inspiration, this intuitive alignment process at Wesak, that, of course, was seeded in a respect at the Aries full moon. Again, it's the first three moons, so Aries, Taurus, Gemini, that then come the third one. The three is always related to activity and manifestation. So we become, humanity becomes the manifestation of, again, enlightened compassion and enlightened wisdom.
Nice. And Gemini being an air sign, when you say
the winds of change.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So we're going to be doing that meditation
Friday night
and
online free.
I just go to spiritfire.com and click on the meditation tab, and you can find out more about that and sign up for it. Always a powerful meditation. The full moon meditations are probably one of our most popular meditations, and when it comes around to these high moons, boy oh boy, if not only tapping into the group that's present meditating, you can be well aware that you are tapping into a meditational vibration of the highest order that is happening globally during this full moon. So it's a very, very important time, and
And I would add also that we happen to be in some additional astrological factors that I won't go into the detail, but please, everyone, you know, we have just had these earthquakes in Ecuador and in Japan, and in many respects, they are tied to the toroidal flow of the energies of the planets as they affect Mother Earth and pull upon her continents and oceans and things like that, just as the moon does and the tides. So as we are in not only a full moon cycle, but we are in a heightened astrological cycle all overall, if everyone would bring their meditative composure to the world, send good energy, of course, to those living in the devastation of earthquake, and consider yourself an embodiment of compassion and wisdom, and really live from that very mindfully, certainly all through the week while these astrological factors are potent.
Indeed. And, you know, it's always so refreshing during the conference, and so much we take it for granted, perhaps ourselves, you and I here at Spirit Fire, and in our study, in our meditations, and in our goodwill, in our service, that the Christ energy and the Buddha energy, the energy of the Buddha and the Christ are so compatible. You know, in this conference, there was so much talk. One might listen and think, well, what? The Christ and the Buddha in the same room or in the same conversation? And yet we sort of create these sort of very rigid thought forms around those words and around our ideas of those beings as individuals that actually walk the planet, and sort of take it a bit too much as a story and not tap into the energy that both of these incredible beings put forth. And we have a step in the practice called heart-mind. I mean, there you go. If one is only to tap into the energy of the Christ, you realize that it is one of togetherness, of heart, of unity, of compassion, and to tap into the Buddha as one of enlightenment and insight and of the mind and refining that faculty of the mind.
And I also think that as we contemplate more, meditate more, and get into that centered way with ourselves, that we just simply tap into that these qualities are here inside us. That yes, there have been down the ages all the great teachers, the saints, the sages that have gifted us with their teaching, with their philosophies, with their practices. Absolutely. And they are to be honored and revered, and religions are created by them, and etc. However, we want to always touch into that the Christ nature is who and what we are, that the Buddha nature is who and what we are, that the Tao is who and what we are, that, you know, Metakwiasane, you know, all my relations is who and what we are. So I think that when we collect together under the goals of the UN, or under the goals of having good relations in our family, under the goals of meditating together for world service, then we are tapping into these energies that are simply being highlighted right now under the full moon.
Indeed. So perfect timing for this step in the practice, toroidal flow. You know, may we all see ourselves as part of a wonderful kingdom, the human kingdom, and just look around and realize that that person sitting across from you, you have a connection to them and by nature, by human nature. You are connected by heart, by mind, as very beings of a kingdom that can do great good, and that the earth is dependent upon you doing great good. So we're at the end of the show. I just want to say, as we only have a couple minutes left, that we here, Donna is going to be leading an amazing retreat. If you are in New England, or if you're anywhere listening globally, fly on in. Come to Spirit Fire. It is a practice of living awareness retreat. And we are going to go over all of the steps of the practice in one weekend and touch upon them, on their effect within the whole practice, and ways in which you can use them in your everyday. Donna's going to be leading that.
And if I may, you know, that's going to happen just before the Gemini full moon. So again, we can just put that little tincture in there of that your meditation practice actually does make you a whole human being in a global scheme of world change.
And it's right there and it's accessible to you. And we'll find the ways within that retreat. I know, you know, this is really, Donna, I love even having these conversations with you on the radio show, but I can tell you live in person in a meditative, you know, retreat is choice. So that's at Spirit Fire in West Leiden, Massachusetts. And Donna will also be Fruitlands. She's going to be leading a meditation program at Fruitlands. And
there's a small museum in Harvard, Mass. It's the first time they're running meditation classes. I'm really looking forward to this. And if you, again, live in the local area of Harvard, Mass, Middle Massachusetts, drive on down, sign up at fruitlands.org. for that meditation program.
Wonderful. It's been great to be with you, Donna. Thanks, as always, for joining me. And on behalf of Tim, who's away today, spiritfireradio.com for past shows. And join us next week. We'll be talking about esoteric healing again. It's one of my favorite topics. And it's going to be a great show next week. So join us with Bonnie Deisinger. She is a wonderful, wonderful teacher and practitioner. So thanks again, Donna.
Thank you.
Great to be with you all. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.